Good morning if you're joining in on Zoom, zooming in. Good morning if you're listening on a podcast later. Welcome. From Psalm 139, you are all around me on every side. You protect me with your power. Your knowledge of me is too deep. It is beyond my understanding. And this is our starting point. If you think wrestling with God is pretty heavy and quite a lot in the circumstances of where we're at in the world today, as how I feel, can't we just be wrapped up in God's love? Well, yes, we can. And this morning we're going to dwell in this Psalm 139. And this is our starting point for what comes in our journey, is that we're wrapped up, hedged in, hemmed in by the love of God. This is talk one of four talks spaced over some next couple of months or so. Next one's 2 weeks away. And so we're entering into Psalms, into the world of creative space, of artistry, of expression. We're entering into prophetic space. We're touching and feeling what it is to be human. So I hope we can come together into this journey and explore some psalms, that we can listen to prophetic outcry, and that we can travel as new explorers, even if we are pretty familiar with psalms, who knows what we might find. And straight away there's some pathos about this journey, because this painting above me and to my right here is from Unca's dad, Cornelis, whom we call Cor. And Cor's had a stroke, and he can't remember painting this series of paintings from Psalm 139. I asked him, can you remember anything about it? And no, he can't. But we know he's been inspired by the psalm to paint these paintings. And he's let us know which part of the psalm he has associated and expressed himself. And Cor will have known these verses first in Frisian, which is his first language, and then in Dutch, and then finally coming to New Zealand, he will have learnt them many years later in English. And this is the thing about scripture, isn't it? We're always in the grip of translation and the power of translating, especially when we come into prophetic space, artistic space. And so Cor has called this painting Hedged In. In my NRSV, the verses read, "You hem me in behind and before." A picture of God intimately connected with our lives. A picture of God present in the secret knitting together in the womb and knowing the number of our days, knowing us completely and holding us safely. So wherever we go from here in our journey into Psalms, into dark places, into the brutal honesty of failure, into being surrounded by enemies, into injustice and violence, into despair, gosh, and we're only just starting. All these places of human predicament, we know that we're held and we're loved. We're wrapped up in God's love. We know that when we cry out, it's from a place of faith, a place of possibility. So I think there's a power in us reading together and reciting the whole of this psalm. And I'd like to do that as a liturgy, with a call and response. So you've got a page, hopefully, in front of you, because I know the print size came out perhaps not quite as big as it looked on my computer when I did it. So let's read together and see if we can enter the rhythm of this psalm, Psalm 139. To the leader of David, a psalm. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know what I sit down, you know what I rise up, you discern my thoughts You search out my path and my lying down. Even before word is on my tongue, you hem me in, behind and before. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Where can I go from your spirit? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, if I say, surely the darkness will cover me, and the light around me become night, for it was you who formed my inward parts. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. My frame was not hidden from you. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God. I try to count them, but they are more than the sand. Oh, that you would kill the wicked, O God. Those who speak of you maliciously. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? I hate them with a perfect hatred. Search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there is any wicked way in me. I want to talk about rhythm. Did you feel a bit of rhythm in that psalm as we recited together? Just a quality of repetition and regularity. I think Jesus was really aware of this. He says, don't worry about tomorrow, which sounds quite cheerful, until he says, today will have enough troubles of its own. And I think Jesus was really aware of this need for us for rhythm in our lives. And there's a way in which we're created in a deep way to respond to rhythm. We're probably feeling that a bit now as the normal rhythms of our lives seem to be interrupted. So when Jesus was teaching the Lord's Prayer, I think he had a strong sense of rhythm in mind. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's a prayer like a heartbeat, feeling the rhythm. And there's a Scottish poet that you may have heard of called Edwin Muir. He's one of my favourites. He's a very apocalyptic sort of poet. He's about contemporary with Lewis and Tolkien, so Mark, I'm joining you in going back another century or two. And he had a conversion from reciting this Lord's Prayer, and this is how he described his experience. Last night, going to my bed alone, I suddenly found myself, taking off my waistcoat, reciting the Lord's Prayer in a loud, emphatic voice, a thing I had not done for many years. With deep urgency and profound disturbed emotion. But while I went on, I grew more composed. As if it had been empty and craving and were being replenished, my soul grew still. Every word had a strange fullness of meaning which astonished and delighted me. It was late. I'd sat up reading. I was sleepy. But as I stood in the middle of the floor, half undressed, saying the prayer over and over, meaning after meaning sprang from it, overcoming me again with joyful surprise. And I realized that this simple petition was always universal and always inexhaustible, and day by day sanctified human life. Now I realized, quite without knowing it, I was a Christian, no matter how bad a one. Edwin Muir. And at their last supper together, with the weight on him, on Jesus, in the upper room in the quiet, Jesus and the disciples pray a psalm together. So it's this rhythm of approach that I encourage you over the next weeks and months to take a psalm and let it dwell with you and inspire you. And a vital part of this rhythm is just to pause. We encounter that sort of musical term in the Psalms, Selah. It's a magical word no one quite knows the meaning of, but it seems to indicate pause, breathe, take a breath. Here it is in Psalm 4. When you are disturbed, do not sin. Ponder it on your beds and be silent. Selah. Pause. And then offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. To pause, to take time. We are strangely and wonderfully made, but so is our neighbour. And to listen well, we need to pause. I think if we begin in the Psalms this way, in a sort of sense of conversation and dialogue, because that's the rhythm of them, we come to the point, is God really interested in me? This was a question that a friend asked many years ago about church life. But are they really interested in you? And I think that stuck with me, retained its power. And so when something does that, I have to direct it to God and ask, well, is God really interested in me? And I think our answer in this psalm is yes, he is. He's interested, he's involved, he knows us completely. And if that's the case, then we should be interested in each other. I love the idea of sanctuary, the word, the concept, the space, the time, whether it's private, whether it's communal. We find it in Psalm 73, which we're going to look at next time. In Psalm 73, the psalmist is overcome by thinking about how the wicked people seem to prosper quite well, and the poor people are oppressed. And he's trying to figure all this out, and it's just wearying. It was wearying until he entered the sanctuary. I think sanctuary is our expectancy of a listening God. Because the world throws it as an absent God. Where is he? But Psalms proclaim a listening God. They help us proclaim a listening God. And if we can bring ourselves into that sanctuary of a listening God, then we bring ourselves into the sanctuary of listening to each other. Try it out. Concentrate on a psalm and see. Are you a better listener? So what about the anger and the rage we find in Psalms? We're going to look at it in a future talk, but Psalms are not about being pretty. When I asked Daniel, is there anything he thought I should talk about in the Psalms? He said, well, as long as you talk about the dark bits as well as the good bits, which was pretty much how I was thinking too. Because Psalms are brutally honest. And modern poetry, by the way, is brutally honest. It's a thing. And this honesty helps us understand the rest of Scripture. by the rivers of Babylon is a great lament, and it's often used in church. And of course, it's an ultra cool song for Boney M. But the bit that didn't make it into the song is the closing verse, which is, "Happy shall they be, O Babylon, who take your little ones and dash them against the rocks." We're not so comfortable with that. And there's parts of this psalm that I wonder, did you feel a bit uncomfortable saying, "Do I not hate those who hate you? I hate them with a perfect hatred." This is not something that we're used to. But psalms do have this scream about them, this crying out. And a scream is being honest. We live in days where we at least think we're more psychologically aware, or at least we have a better vocab. And we know that suppressing things is not healthy for us. We know that things we don't admit to ourselves have a habit of leaking out, often in unhealthy ways. We need to express things to give a voice. And we need to hear the voice. So we can be angry with God. We can be confused by God, let down by God, let down by others. Sounds like an average week, eh? But psalms help us voice this outcry to God because of suffering, because we share in suffering, and because it gives us a bigger world, a bigger framework. Psalms are individual and together. So when we express together, we find ourselves in a bigger world. Part of our world is that we're often compartmentalizing ourselves. We have all these different roles, who we are at home, who we are at work, who we are at church, who we are in our family. Modern society asks us to be many people. Elif Shafak is a Turkish novelist who I enjoy, and she describes us as having multiple belongings. Multiple belongings. But we want to have a faith that encompasses and holds all these multiple belongings. And maybe this is a little bit what we have in mind as a value at Chapel Hill, in simplicity. Simplicity is a depth of consistent character. Simplicity that is us in all our multiple belongings. That we're a people of faith wherever we are. Daniel, could you advance this a few? There we go, thanks. I like the sense of space in this painting, of course. Precious thoughts. Your thoughts and knowledge, O Lord, are all beyond me, your precious thoughts. So where are we going to in these next few sessions on Psalms? Well, for now, I just want to hold on to the power of, I don't know. I don't know. I think that has a lot of power. I don't know. It's very confessional. Maybe this is our second way to find in the rhythm of Psalms a space for God to work. First we pause and then we say, I don't know. We've come to the end of ourselves. Let's find God. Here's the space that leads to new possibilities. Have you noticed that the wise say often, I don't know? Or let me think about that. It's the loudest voices who often have the most to say. Even Jesus, I think, said this, I don't know. When will these things come to pass? Not even the Son knows. So what are we reaching for when we confess that God's thoughts are precious, far above us, that they're weighty, that they're difficult to understand? What are we reaching for? Well, I don't really know, but I am wondering. And what I've been wondering is this something to do with wildness? The wildness of God. Something well beyond mystery. Something a bit more bloodthirsty and unsettling about God. Because the Psalms are intimately connected with the life of David. And he's a wild and conflicted man. He's a man of violence, and yet he rejects violence. He's a naked dancer. He's a man of power, and yet he rejects power. He embodies the paradox that a king was a bad idea. God said at first, don't have a king, and yet David is a good king. And he prefigures an even better king to come. So the wildness of David and the wildness of God, is that what we're reaching for, partly? Well, what we do know seems to outweigh what we don't know. Because what we do know is love. What we do know is the love of Christ. God so loves the world that he gives his only son. And what we don't know seems to shrink when we compare it to that love. When we say, I don't know, it's in the embrace of God's love and the confirmation of that love. And when we say, I don't know in that way, I think that gives us trust. I thought and wrote these words out on my outdoor table a few weeks ago under one of those blood red sunsets we had. So I was writing under a blood red sky, and the poet in me came to say that God's love is underwritten by a blood red sky. Jesus underwrites love. So I have a sketch for the next three sessions in Psalms. The next one I think is called My Foot Almost Slipped. And then Justice, Not Vengeance. And then the last talk, Hope Before the Dawn. But who knows? Because I don't want to just journey alone. I want us to pick up a psalm or psalms. Maybe ask someone, if you like, which psalm should I read? Or just pick one and dwell on it. I'd love to be inspired by it and to find some creation in it. So, yeah, I encourage you to get out the watercolors or whatever your creation is. And there's a couple of great YouTube clips that I think are well worth checking out. There's one on Psalm 51. It's a series of two, quite short, by an artist in New York called Makoto Fujimura. Well worth watching. And there's an interview with Bono and Eugene Peterson talking about the Psalms. I'll leave them up there. They're easy to find, or if you need a bit of help, just come and ask me. So, together, let's enter the space of the psalm. Let's find a rhythm. Let's enter into that space. Musicians, be great to write a song or rework a psalm. And if we can share our inspirations together, we will certainly do so. So we're finding a rhythm. We're finding a sanctuary. And we're admitting it's okay to say, I don't know, in the context of God's love. So let's close in prayer, and then Rick will come and lead us after that. Thank you, Lord, that you are our shepherd, that you do lead us beside still waters and green pastures. Thank you that you comfort us when we walk through the valley of darkness, that your rod and staff guide us. Lord, thank you that you anoint us with oil, that you prepare a banquet for us in the presence of our enemies. And Lord, we thank you and praise you and ask you that goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. Amen.